Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. It's Monday at 8 o'clock, and that means it's time to head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2 to the program, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm really, really delightful. How are you today, Robert?
Not very good.
No. What could have possibly happened yesterday to ruin your mood?
I feel like you're taking a little bit too much joy in this. A little bit too much joy in the misfortune of others out there.
Jeez.
Tearing ACLs.
Yeah.
Corey's as happy as can be.
I am not happy that anyone got hurt, but I will always revel in your defeat.
Oh, thank you. It's good to know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is setting up for a, you know, potentially non-full strength Packers team to come up and still beat the Bears on Saturday. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Maybe they could trade for Aaron Rodgers, get him back.
They don't need him.
I think they're fine at QB.
Yeah, they're fine at QB. Might need somebody to rush the passer now, though.
Yeah, he could be a pass rusher.
Maybe so.
There you go. He's put on a little bit of weight and probably could hang in there.
That is terrible. I mean, I love to watch Micah Parsons play. So that is not good for anyone. It is not.
Probably good for Caleb Williams this week, but we'll see. I understand what you're saying.
I like to watch football. I like to watch really good football. And, you know, I mean, like Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody wants to see him get hurt. I mean, regardless how you feel about the Chiefs, nobody wants to see him get hurt.
No, absolutely. So the Titans score into the 20s again. So, hey.
Third time in 4 weeks.
That's right. The offense is heating up a little bit. They fall 37-24 to the San Francisco 49ers. Corey, we talked about, you know, Cam Ward earlier. You know, the numbers are good in this game. Made some good plays, made some good throws. Also missed a couple of throws that you can't miss in an NFL game, which seems like we talk about that a lot with him. So, overall, what did you make of Cam Ward, and what do you make of the current trajectory that he and the offense are on?
Well, I mean, you're asking about Cam Ward, so we'll start there. You know, good, not great. You know, like you said, the deep ball to Van Jefferson, you know, it's got to be complete. That's a game, a potentially game-changing play. He is wide open. He's got room to throw the football. It needs to be complete. And it's a tie game, probably, if he completes that pass. And look, are the 49ers still better? Yes, they are. But you know, there are, it's like me when defensive backs drop interceptions that hit them right in the hands. Those are plays you got to make.
Yep.
And as a quarterback, that's a play he's got to make. You know, I thought the beginning, you know, for much of the game, I really thought he looked calm out there, though. I mean, I really did. I thought, you know, his ability to handle pass rushers, you know, without freaking out was good, you know, in the way he kept his head upfield. He has stopped running the ball again, which is a little bothersome at times. I mean, if you look after the two games where he ran the ball effectively, he's pretty much just stopped. You know, I don't understand that. But you know, he was calm. He's thrown two touchdowns for two games in a row, I think. You know, there's something to that. You know, we were wondering if he was going to get to double figures. He's in double figures now. But what the most important thing to me is, I wanted to see the offensive line prove last week was not a fluke. And they largely did that. I mean, 130 yards rushing. And, you know, just look at the touchdown pass to Gunnar Helm and look at the pocket Cam Ward has to throw from. I mean, he could pitch a tent back there.
Yep.
And start a fire. I mean, he's all set to go. And so, you know, the offensive line is playing better, and I think that's a big reason why you see 24 points or more three of the last four games. And so that's promising.
That's a terrific segue. I was going to go offensive line, and you led me right there, Corey.
All right.
So what? First of all, a few things on that we've discussed today. Someone was like, oh, so Bill Callahan leaves, and now the offensive line gets good. But what can we take from this late season surge forward? I think Skoronski's been good all year. Corey Levin looks like they're getting better center play than they were. with Cushenberry, but is Corey Levin, you know, a long-term answer? And then obviously to me the big thing, as we've talked about before, is J.C. Latham finishing the season strong and making the front office feel like, okay, he's going to be fine. We don't have to be thinking about two tackles coming up in the near future. You know, he's going to be okay. So what from what you've seen of this group, what do you think means something moving forward?
Well, I think next year is the most meaningful thing I can think of, because the way the team is structured, you kind of felt like this was largely going to be the group going in next year regardless. So if you can feel, you know, a little bit better about that group, I think that certainly helps, where you don't have to invest high draft capital. I mean, chances are there's not going to be a really good one available in free agency, but you know, you can continue to develop, you know, what you've got now. Cushenberry started yesterday.
Yeah.
He went the distance, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. And I do know Levin played some right guard yesterday.
Yes.
when Zeitler, you know, went out. And Levin's never been a problem, as far as I'm concerned. In his entire time with the Titans, every time he's played, I feel like he is.
He just gets cut. He'll just get cut and come back and be fine.
Play well.
But he's never been a guy where you're like, oh, man, they exploited him today. And so I've never known this anxiousness to get rid of him, because he always seems to have done okay. But I think, you know, kind of what you're touching on, you know, banking, you know, going into next year, there isn't quite so much urgency to put offensive line help at the top of your list of, you know, not having to use another high draft pick, you know, actually using a high draft pick on a receiver and an edge rusher or a cornerback, you know, some of these, you know, prime positions that you really need to fill, or running back, you know, getting younger at that position, you know, something that you can do. I think it gives them more leeway in the draft.
So Corey, the last couple of weeks here, you know, we've talked with you about Denard Wilson and the job that he's done this year on a defense that we know is devoid of talent in a lot of places, particularly at corner right now. I mean, they've traded away their corners. They're highly paid corners, not out there, not available. And you're trying to scrape by. Yeah, exactly. You're trying to scrape by. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, Shedeur Sanders put up 350 yards or whatever it was on a Browns offense. It's not any good, as we were reminded of again yesterday. And Brock Purdy looked awesome yesterday. I mean, he ended up with 295 yards, 3 touchdowns. And obviously San Francisco's got some talent on the offensive side of the ball. Are we just seeing, you know, as good of a coaching job at times as we think Denard Wilson has done this year, are we just seeing at the moment the lack of talent on the back end being something that the Titans defense is just going to have a hard time overcoming?
Well, who were they down to at their second safety yesterday?
I mean, my goodness. I mean,
they were down to Kendall Brooks.
Yeah.
And I love Kendall Brooks. He's from Swansea, South Carolina. And I've actually been to Swansea, South Carolina.
Really?
But, yeah. It's one of those one-stoplight towns that loves football. But, you know, no, I mean, look, you know, he's got Daryl Baker, who's, you know, he was a waiver wire claim last year and has played some decent football for this team. But, you know, you've got him, and you've got, you know, a sixth round pick in Marcus Harris, who's done well at times for you at corner. But I mean, you know, what were all these guys on the depth chart when the season started?
Yeah.
They were either, you know, practice squad or not on the team. And, you know, we've seen teams fill in against the Titans and still get it done at times, but over the long haul and against the really good teams, you know, you tend to get exploited. And so they got exploited yesterday. And Brock Purdy played really well. I mean, he did. But, you know, Ricky Pearsall looked pretty open.
Okay. He sure did.
he looked pretty open. And so they certainly took advantage of a depleted secondary for the Titans. Denard Wilson's got a pretty tough job right now.
Okay, Corey, so I'm assuming since you were tagged along with me by this David Ferris, who apparently Big Joe would like to meet in public somewhere. You must have voted for Diego Pavia first then? Is that right? You voted him first?
Yeah, I put out my ballot Saturday night. I voted Pavia, Mendoza, and then Jeremiah Love. And
That's the exact same ballot as me. Same ballot right here.
The staggering hate I have gotten from Indiana fans and I think Texas Tech fans is unbelievable.
I've had some Texas Tech people too. Like, you know, it's like, I mean, come on, man. It's a defensive player. Like, he's a good player, but calm down. I just went off on Tennessee fans who are obsessed with him, Vandy fans who used to say the same stuff about Tony Vitello and the baseballs. That now it's like everybody say the F word is a beautiful thing. And then Pavia, I think, did not handle this well with some of the stuff. You know, like the Instagram posts are ridiculous. But what's your overall takeaway from the whole thing?
I mean, look, I voted for Pavia because I thought he was the best player, and there's nothing that is taking away from that. I mean, I don't want to go over the arguments, and anyone who is like staggeringly upset that you voted for Pavia first or Mendoza first or Love for, I mean, guys, these are the very best players in college football. We're splitting hairs between the very best players, and you're acting like there's, how do you dare have the audacity to vote for this guy? And I'm like, well, I watched him play. All right. I didn't just see the V on his helmet and not vote for him.
There were 189 of us who voted him first. And actually, every region of the country, by the way.
And I had somebody say, well, 2,400 people disagreed with you. And I didn't even respond to that because I'm like, well, you don't even understand how the vote works if that's what you if that's what you think. You have no idea how this system works. Yes. I mean, look, if you voted for Mendoza first, I understand. He's the quarterback on a 13-0 football team that won the Big Ten and put up 13 points in the Big Ten championship game. I get it. I mean, he's the best quarterback on the best team. All right? Sure. I get it. And I'm not gonna disparage you for your vote. The attacks are ridiculous. I do not understand. I haven't been this attacked on my ballot this much since I voted for Christian McCaffrey over Derek Henry.
That was a good one.
Oh, the Bama fans coming after you? Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. I was told I should lose my vote. I was so irresponsible.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, have you looked at McCaffrey's numbers? He's got all the return yards. I'm like, exactly. He does everything.
That was a great race. That was 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's the best. That's the best Heisman race that I can remember. For me, that I can remember. I mean,
I went Henry, by the way.
I don't know about
for the record, Bama fans.
So you can go Henry.
Yeah,
you can go.
Neither was wrong. Neither answer was wrong. Just like this one with the quarterbacks. Totally.
That's exactly right. Neither answer. You don't have to call people stupid or hate them because they had a differing opinion from you.
All right, Doug, two things very quickly, Corey. Number one,
okay,
how much does it suck?
I don't do anything quickly
for Patrick Mahomes not to be playing here in Nashville this week. Torn ACL, rough deal there. And number two, I know that, you know, around here, Titans fans, not very fond of the Colts, not very fond of the Jags. But were you just kind of a little bit pulling for Phillip Rivers to finish that one off yesterday?
Not at all.
Wow. No respect for the old man.
No, I don't hate Phillip Rivers. I liked Phillip Rivers when he played for the Chargers. And watching him throw the ball was brutal yesterday, by the way. I mean, that delivery is just...
It's always been wacky, but it looked a little bit more strained yesterday.
Actually, ball's like Charles Barkley swing a golf club. I mean, it's like he's shot putting the ball.
Yeah.
Now he's going to shot put it, you know, all the way right up to the Hall of Fame. And like I said, I don't hate Phillip Rivers. I always enjoyed the competitor, and you know, he usually made his teams better. And it's a remarkable story yesterday. It really was. I was stunned. I thought the Seahawks were going to win that game by 21 points. So that was pretty incredible. There was another part to this question.
Just the Mahomes front of being down. I guess the reaction of them being eliminated at this point from playoff contention, and now he is torn his ACL, and we'll see how long that could affect him, maybe even into next year.
Yeah, you know, it's that whole, you know, draft and develop thing that everybody, you know, keeps talking about, and they haven't drafted and developed as well the last few years, and they don't have the weapons around him that they used to have because, you know, Kelce got old, Tyreek Hill got gone, you know, Xavier Worthy is a complementary piece instead of a dominant piece, and, you know, they just don't have what they used to have, and they don't, you know, they don't score the points. Still, you know, Mahomes top five quarterback, and, you know, there hasn't been, you know, you go to Nissan Stadium this year and, you know, the home team's not great, and so, you know, it's like not having Mike Parsons on the field. I mean, you want to see the best players play. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who bought a ticket to that game and it wasn't to watch Gardner Minshew play, and that, no offense to Gardner Minshew, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. And they're, you know, it's like all the people, it's different, you know, when you go to buy a Lakers ticket or something to watch LeBron play and then he doesn't play. The only difference is Mahomes is really hurt. And so it's you can't be mad about it, but it's got to be disappointing, you know. You know, Kansas City usually brings an army of people everywhere they go. It'll be interesting now that they're eliminated from the playoffs and Mahomes isn't playing. You know, how many people will eat their tickets or still make the trip to Nashville?
Yep, going to be interesting to see. Corey, great stuff as always. Thank you for taking time to be with us this morning. And we will talk to you next Monday in the aftermath of another battle between the Packers and the Bears.
Yeah. You know, the Bears aren't, like, I'm still not, I still don't think the playoffs are locked up by a long shot. We've got three really tough ones, and we could lose them all.
We'll see.
And that's just reality. So we'll see.
We will see. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Here on the program, we will react to what Corey had to say. Titans lose 37-24 to the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get into Cam Ward's performance coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes on Wednesday night at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Beat caller number 7. Caller number 7, 615-737-1025, will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Hurricanes coming up at Wednesday night at Bridgestone Arena. Cam Ward yesterday, Joe, 18 of 29, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 101.2. Made some good plays in the game, extended some plays, put his arm on display in a couple of plays where made a great throw. Also missed some throws that you would like to see your starting NFL quarterback make on a consistent basis. And right now, you know, there have been some good signs over the last couple of weeks. He has made some wonderful plays, extending the play, as we've talked about earlier in the show. There still is, I think, a little bit too much of missing absolute gimme throws that you've got to make at the NFL level. Overall, what did you think of Cam Ward yesterday, and what do you think about where he is right now, where he's trending, the offense in general, all those things?
Yeah, I think it's. I think you see the ability. You see him able to do some things that quite a few quarterbacks in this league, I would say, cannot do the same way he can do in terms of the extending and just making some ridiculous throws. And yeah, you can't. You know, you got a free touchdown to that was Jefferson, right? Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
And you just miss it, and it, you know, you just. Some of the stuff that should be easier for him that any NFL quarterback has to do, he's not doing just a little bit too often. He's missing, you know, again, I think it's a mechanical thing, footwork thing, whatever it is, but that's just something that has to be fixed because those plays are great. I mean, think about, and obviously a lot of examples are like someone, you know, as a rookie was this, and then second year it got a lot better. I mean, I even think about, like, Caleb Williams. It seems to me, you know, again, last year he would make some crazy plays, but then there was just a lot of bad in there too, right? It was an underwhelming season for Caleb Williams, which I would call this the same for Cam Ward. Without having the numbers in front of me, I think Caleb Williams probably had more production.
Caleb Williams will end up having better numbers than Cam Ward does at the end of the year. in terms of his season last year.
His rookie season. Yeah. But that, to me this year, and I think you probably have to give some credit to Ben Johnson, but seems to me like he's just gotten better at some of the just the consistent, quick stuff that you just have to do to keep a drive going.
Yeah.
And then you still you mix in some of those crazy plays. And so Cam's just got to get better. And it, at some point, if you aren't more consistent and reliable on that stuff, then the these plays that he's making, they will not matter at some point if you don't get there. But also, it's great to be able to do some things that, like, that are exceptional like that, and you just want to see if he can put it all together.
Yeah, like, again, the escapability, the accuracy as he's on the run and evading pressure is pretty good. Like, it's been impressive to watch him do that. I just think we've talked about this with Kuharski. We've talked about this a lot over the last couple of months here. His footwork, his mechanics, all those things, it's clear he's going to need some work on that. And I think that work is going to have to come in the off season where you're drilling down on it every day. You know, could you be doing some of that right now? I guess. But from the time crunch we've talked about and what an NFL week looks like is, you know, you're putting in your game plan, you're on the practice field for a limited amount of time. There's only so much you can do in the regular season. He has to get to the point pretty quickly here heading into next year where those misses that we're seeing on a semi-consistent basis start to be eliminated. Now, you brought up Stafford yesterday. I think it's a great example. Stafford had Higbee wide open yesterday, just missed him. Your quarterback is going to miss some throws from time to time. It's happening a little bit too much with Ward, more often than you should be comfortable with. So does that improve? That has to improve if he's ultimately going to be what they hope he can be, which is the long-term answer at quarterback. Yes, is it great to have the arm strength he does? Of course. Is it great to be able to make some of the, you know, the eye-popping wow plays that he makes in terms of getting out of the pocket, throwing on the run? Yes, all that's good. But if you can't consistently throw strikes, hit players when they're open in this league, you're just not going to make it as a quarterback. And that's got to be what improves.
Yeah. And I hear you on this offseason. It's huge. He's got a lot of work to do. I mean, the guy has, you know, he's played college football for a long time, different levels. And he kept getting better, but it's not like he hasn't been working on this stuff, you know? Yep. I mean, I think that's one of the big knocks on him, was just is it quite consistent enough? And is that delivery a little too funky? I mean, someone, Mike said the way Corey described Phillip Rivers' delivery is the way he feels about Cam Ward's delivery. I guess in a way, it does, some of that sidearm does look a little bit. Now, Cam Ward can throw absolute blazers out of that. Like, yesterday, Phillip Rivers was
just like put his whole body into it.
Yeah. But Rivers, I mean, yesterday, no doubt, yesterday was exaggerated on the Rivers front because, yeah. I mean, it did look like he was literally shot putting it a couple of times. But he's always had that weird delivery.
But Phillip Rivers, in his career, he made the layups.
Correct.
He hit the strike zone. He was painting the corners, man. And that's what you have to be able to do. And that's just – I don't think it happens a ton. Maybe it'll be more of a thing, more prevalent now. I know that there's some specific stuff that Josh Allen did. I forget who wrote the story. Really fascinating story about some of the plyometrics and stuff. Yep. So, I mean, look, it's a constant, this industry, making quarterbacks and improving quarterbacks is just constantly making gains. So maybe we'll see more examples of that. So far, there just haven't been that many examples to me of it's just like the same thing. Someone gets in the NBA with a broken jump shot. I mean, you're probably not fixing it at that point.
Well, but like again, I didn't think Cam was bad yesterday, right?
No,
like I thought he was fine in the game. He made a couple of big plays. It by no means did I walk away saying, "Golly, just what a bad performance by Cam yesterday." But it would be good for a couple games in a row at some point to walk away and say, "You know what? He didn't miss anything today. You know, he put the ball where it was supposed to be every time." And, you know, sometimes putting the ball where it's supposed to be is throwing the ball in the fifth row out there. That's fine. I can live with that. But don't be missing wide-open receivers.
Yeah, like I think the Seattle game was probably the best example this year so far.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Cam Ward front. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. 94.9 The Fan, you're home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Tonight, Commodores taking on South Florida at Memorial Gym at 6:30, pregame at 6:15. Make sure you're tuned in for that. Big week for South Florida, too. Still awaiting a result on the football front from your Pigskin Pick'em.
Yeah, man, don't let me down. That's my lock. You guys didn't get your locks. If I get my lock, I make a little bit more progress. Gain it a little bit.
We'll see what happens. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, Trey.
Hey, I watched maybe 2-3 series of Cam yesterday, and I would have to say that's progress. I would have to say that he's not good.
All right.
And I say that because I seen one play where the ball was snapped and big dude was trying to chase him down, and then Chim DK was sitting right there to get the ball, and Cam looked at him and didn't even throw him the ball. Like, what is he doing? And then I was just like, man, I was like thinking, he has talent, but he doesn't have skill. And I would rather have skill over talent. And he should be trending upwards by now so we would know what we were getting, next season. But he's not even doing that. But I just hope the best for the Titans. And y'all, good day. Love y'all. Y'all have a good, blessed day. See y'all later. Bye.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it.
Bye, Trey.
Joe, we got a
– he's not good.
He's not very good.
I watched a couple series, though. That's now, I didn't get progress. To ask, Trey, did you listen to the rest or did you just watch part of the game? Like, was it like part listen, part watch, or just watch some of the game?
That's a good question.
Trey's on the side of the eternal debate. We got Adam in Portland, another frequent caller who says, here's my question. Is there a quarterback in the league that's been put in a worse situation than Cam Ward? If not, then we have to wait until he gets a new regime before we can judge him properly, in my opinion. So I think it's fair to look at the surrounding cast for sure. I don't think that it means you can't detect anything about a quarterback in that situation. I mean, Cam Ward has had some clean pockets this year and open receivers this year. He's made some plays. He's missed some plays. Then there's the side of Trey, which is he's not good. Not good.
Let's welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Dude, I want to do a radio show with Trey so bad. I would just love to talk. I just want to talk to him. It doesn't have to be recorded, man. I just want to talk to this guy about the Titans. Anyway.
Adam and Trey. I like it. Let's do it.
It'd be sweet, dude. Hey, check it out. So, I've never felt like this in 26 years. I've been so over this season. Like, I've been ready for the season to end. I've never been like that, man. But, like, we're just not getting anything out of it as fans. I don't know what we can see. Even seeing Pollard run pretty good, I'm like, all right, but he won't be here. So who's it helping? I don't think half of our line's going to be there. I don't think Cam's getting anything out of it except worse. Like, I think he's getting a little bit worse. But I don't know, dude. I'm a miserable fan this year, and I know we're all set, but, like, I've never been to the point where I've waited for the season to end so early. I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call. I think it's a combination of a couple things, because I don't think Adam is alone there, and I think you've seen some of that reflected in the attendance at Nissan Stadium. It does kind of feel like a slog to get to the end here, but it's the combination of them being as bad as they are right now and as bad as they've been over the last 3 years. Like, it's a long stretch that Titans fans are dealing with right now, and you're hoping at some point that you're going to climb out of it, but right now it's not great.
But again, 55 points in 2 weeks. I mean, it's something, man. Like, it's not – they're not just scoring 13 and 16 here.
It's true.
I mean, let's try to find some positives, right? I think it's a little more watchable here lately, right?
It's definitely more watchable lately. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially when you consider, Corey mentioned 24 points or more three out of the last 4 weeks. Well, the week that they didn't was one of the most unwatchable weeks that they've had, which, by the way, is saying something in that Jacksonville game. I mean, it's brutal. And it kind of felt like in the Jacksonville game that they just kind of laid down. So, number one, good on them for bouncing back. And I didn't have any question that they were playing hard yesterday. It's been better to watch the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you won one of those games, so that it helps too. But the offense is making some plays out there on a relatively consistent basis, which is better than we've seen at several different points this year.
Yep. So I hear Adam. I think other people, you know, feel that way. But, I mean, there's three games left. And then it's just all the other things about the NFL, which I swear some people like better, like draft stuff. And then you wait so long for another football game that actually counts. So I'm just saying, maybe you should savor these
things. Titans
games.
Got a chance to beat the Chiefs.
They do.
Maybe think about uttering that sentence heading into the year. Titans got a chance to beat the Chiefs on Sunday.
What do we have a line, by the way?
It's Chiefs by 3.5.
Wow. So if you know, like the Chiefs win, which they should have, they're up 13-3 and they completely botch that game and he doesn't get hurt, what's the line? Chiefs by 9? Yeah. I said cheats, not Chiefs. Chiefs. Sorry, not cheats. Yeah. Yeah, they have a chance. I mean, I guess, again, if you're the Titans fan looking at that draft position, you're like, actually, I'd prefer Mahomes and the Chiefs in a playoff hunt coming here to Nashville. I mean, like Corey said, I'm sure there's some Chiefs fans who had this. I mean, it's not quite as fun a trip here probably in December, but some people who, you know, expected their team to be great, expected to be coming here, watching Mahomes light up the Titans, and now it's like, why are we going to this game?
All I'm going to say, and I don't know how I feel about this yet, because even uttering the sentence out loud is kind of funny to me. But I do think the Titans have at least a chance to do something in the next 2 weeks that they've not done since 2022, and that is win back-to-back games. I understand Kansas City still got some pretty talented players outside of Mahomes. I really think that they're just going to absolutely lay down. We'll see what happens. I could be wrong about that. But you got the Chiefs and the Saints the next 2 weeks at home. Saints won yesterday.
I mean, that's the thing. There's been, and I'll have to be honest, that was the lost game of the late window yesterday.
Yes.
I didn't watch 1 second
Not
of it.
Not 1 second.
But Tyler Shuck had good numbers, and there's some people today saying, hey, Tyler Shuck could be the best QB
again,
in that draft class. I don't know.
I mean, they very well could lose both of these games. I'm just saying there's at least a shot that they can beat a downtrodden Kansas City team and a not very good New Orleans team at home.
So
get excited, Titans fans.
There's a chance.
I mean, if they win these next two, that will be that'll be 3 out of 4 that they've won.
You're looking past the Chiefs and already.
I'm not looking past anybody.
Win.
I'm just saying if they do.
I think you should.
I'm trying to talk myself into some wins here.
I think we should lock you in for Titans lock for the next 2 weeks. That's what I think.
Okay. You know what? Fine. Do it.
Okay. Hey, there we go. Put him down. He said it.
That's probably not good.
We need to make up some ground.
I think I picked the Titans to win twice this year. Once against the Colts. That did not go well. And then a couple of weeks ago. It was Jacksonville.
Yeah.
In Jacksonville, I picked them to win because
that Duval.
Basically of the Duval
after
the, stuff.
After they'd played well against Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Duval.
They got absolutely crushed in both of those games. So, sorry, Titans fans.
Yeah, but you can still lock them covering. That's fine.
Well, I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still open. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans' loss to San Francisco yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Today between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas here on 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, they fall 37-24 yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers. Joe, just in general, better on the offensive line. I think that's clear over the last 2 weeks. No sacks allowed yesterday by the Titans, which if you've watched the Titans' offensive line play over the last 3 years, that is noteworthy anytime that happens where there's no sacks. So good to see on that front. I think they're clearly playing better. Offensively, you know, they're running the ball better the last couple of weeks. Not a whole lot of opportunity to run the ball yesterday given the fact that they really couldn't come up with a whole lot of stops on the defensive side of the ball and were down in the game. But you hit on something earlier that's just going to be really important moving ahead here, and that's Latham. Latham, pretty good games, couple games in a row. I'm not, you know, ready to anoint him yet or anything, but he's taken a lot of crap this year, deservedly so, from both the media and his teammates, by the way. And it looks like over the last couple of weeks, he and the line in general have started to play better. So, you know, I mentioned it. You got Kansas City, you got New Orleans, you got Jacksonville, and who knows what the picture is going to look like for Jacksonville by the time that last game comes around. Three more games here if you're the Titans and if you're Latham in the offensive line specifically to create some positive momentum for yourself heading into the offseason. Look, Latham pretty clearly is not going to be where I expected him or wanted him to be after year two. I said at the beginning of the year he needs to be a star player and you need to feel pretty darn good that you've drafted your franchise right tackle. And I don't think that that's going to happen over the next three games here. There's just not enough time left in the season to know that. But with as bad as it was looking a few weeks ago, if he shakes himself out of it and ends the season on a high note in the last five games or so, I'll take it, and then you hope for that continuing to kind of carry over in the next year. Certainly a much better situation if it plays out that way than it was looking like it was going to be a couple weeks ago. Very interested to see how number 55 finishes the season here.
Yeah, he's got some tough matchups ahead, but it's a big deal. I think that he appears to have responded and found something and not go the other way because it was looking kind of rough. And again, keeping an open mind on this whole thing, but seems like he got some positive momentum. Remember in the offseason, it was this time of year that he was talking about in the offseason. This is when it got away from the physical shape got away from him. And it's like, we think about these teams and you know how much intensity they have if you're out of the playoffs or you're a bad team in December, how much do you want? But it's also like how disciplined are you during the week? You know, how much are you preparing? How much are you lifting and staying on top of everything? It's all it's a challenge. I understand any of us would be like, hey, I'd take that challenge. Give me millions to play football. I'll go ahead and you'll see me on the treadmill. But eating, I mean, all that stuff. You know, if you're a big person, that stuff can get away from you. And so knowing that a year ago, if it's the other way this year with you know being in shape, playing some of your best ball, having some momentum, that's a big deal because they just can't be in a situation where they know they have to have two tackles drafted. Like basically have to draft two tackles in the top three rounds of the next couple drafts. If you could knock one of those out, not have to worry about it, and get to the point where, he's worth paying in a second deal. Yeah, that's you need way more of those stories than you have right now in this franchise.
Dennis on the text line asking what we think the future of Tavondre Sweat is and that his expectations for him heading into the year were very high.
Speaking of big people who need to probably limit intake of things, he flashes here and there. He's decent. He looks to me, he looks pretty out of shape. You could see that like if he got himself in better shape. I mean, he has quick feet. I mean, he has the ability, I think, to make a lot more plays. But I don't know. I think it's a huge offseason for him too. And I agree. It's been quite a disappointment. I mean, he's overall. Like, okay, who's the bigger disappointment so far, Sweat or Latham? I would say Sweat. And Latham has had, like, a rough go here this year for a lot of the season. I still would say Sweat, though, based on my expectations.
Well, based on expectations, also based on where he's drafted.
I mean, you're talking about the seventh pick versus the 38th pick, right. So there's also that. So it's actually
But I would
close.
Say that Latham has had some good games. Sweat has had some okay moments, right? But I don't remember like Sweat ever really having a dominant game. It's clear he was overdrafted. I think it's clear at this point that he was overdrafted when he was drafted where he was. Now, what does it mean for his future? I don't know. Like, if you're the Titans, I think there's still some raw ability there to work with. Do you give him another shot with another coaching staff coming in next year to see what he can do, and then make your decision after year three? I think that's probably where this is trending.
Yeah, and again, like if you're him, and you look next to you and you look at 98, who obviously was already a great player and everything, but you look at what he did and how it has paid off for him. How does that not that every day I'm sure that there isn't somebody mentioning, you got to get in better shape, all that stuff, but it's like you got a great example right here of someone who, look at the career that Jeffrey Simmons has carved out for himself, and look what he just did this past offseason. I'm not saying that, if Sweat lost 40 pounds, all of a sudden he'd be this great player, but, boy, it'd be nice to see it and see how it goes.
Yeah, it sure would. It'd also be nice to see Jeffrey Simmons get a handoff. I think that's what we determined earlier in the show today. Nice catch yesterday for the touchdown. The next step on offense for him, get it, fullback dive, Jeffrey Simmons, right up the middle.
100%. And so get him the ball a little bit more and take him off the field goal block. Take him off that because he can't seem to stop getting penalties. It's not like he's really that much anyway.
Will you stop hitting the snapper, please?
It's like, dude, two of those in 1 year is come on.
I mean, it's really the only thing bad we could say about him so
pretty
far
much
this year.
Yeah,
stop hitting the long snapper, please.
Yeah. I guess maybe a personal foul here or there, right?
Yeah.
Offsides here or there, but for the most part,
got
that's
another
about
sack
it.
Yesterday.
So what is he at now?
Is that 9? Let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, a double digit sack season for him. Quite a statement.
That is 9. He's at 9. So that is a new career high for Jeff Simmons. So
because 8.5 was his career high, right?
Yep.
In 21. Yeah.
So he's gonna get the double digits this year. Pretty good stuff. All pro.
Should be.
We'll see how it goes. That does it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.